So, as I'm sure everyone knows, this is New Year's Day, the beginning of a new year, 2020. In a certain way, it looks like any other day. But in the realm of time, and as time passes, we can utilize time to help us in our own development. What we call in our tradition the new year, we call it beginning anew, because it is an opportunity for each of us to kind of step back from our life. You know, our life, especially in our world these days, has a certain kind of energy, as you know, and it's often a hurried energy and a busier energy, and it's a very often distractible energy. And so if we are not careful, days, weeks, months, years, even decades can pass by without us ever taking stock, right, of where we are in life, where we've been in life, and really where we want to go in life. In other words, the ability to become conscious of ourselves in life rather than just being driven by our past. And as you know, if we're not careful, it's very easy to be driven by our past. So this is a brief attempt within a few hours today to accomplish that for all of us participating in this ceremony. To stop. Thich Nhat Hanh spends a lot of emphasis saying, in this modern world, the first thing before we can think about any kind of change we want to make, we have to stop. I wish our national leaders could also do that. Stop. Just stop. And relax, and empty the mind. And then engage ourselves in a process that we can begin to look deeply, in this case today, into our own lives. And even though, you know, in Buddhism we talk a lot in Zen about, you know, living in the moment, you know, living in the now, and yet the truth is, for many of us, our now, our present, is totally conditioned by our past. There's this energy that's often preventing us from really being in the now and seeing the opportunities that are here right now. So please, let's begin there. We stop and we're here. And the first thing we want to do, because again, it is so easy to make resolutions, to set aspirations and intentions in the present, because we, in a certain way, we really want our life different, or we want to be different kind of people, or we want to move our life in a different direction. But without any sense of history, often our attempts at doing that fall far short or don't even happen, because we don't graft on the present, which is our moment-to-moment movement into the future, with our past. So we are often naive, we might say, overly optimistic, right? And that is why it is often embarrassing for many of us, if for those of us who save our past New Year's resolutions and pull them out, to find out once again, spontaneously, we are generating the same aspirations or resolutions that we have done for years. Right? And, you know, that's not bad. But if we don't stop and go, well, what's my past about? You see, what are the forces that are driving me? And can I spend a moment kind of evaluating, assessing, at least for this past year, what this past year has really been about for me? You know, often starting with where I was a year ago and what my intentions and aspirations for 2019 were, right? And here I am a year later. So if I don't stop and assess and evaluate that, then it's very easy again to just kind of keep repeating the same mistakes. Is that clear? So it's important that we begin with this capacity to look back, to reflect, and to really see what are those things that a year ago I had hoped to manifest in this past year. How did I hope to be? How did I hope to show up? Not just in some kind of idealistic, you know, more this, more that, but in kind of real life, in our real relationships. The people we live with, the people we work with, the society we are part of, you know, as well as our own very personal inner aspirations and intentions for ourselves. And so we need to first take stock, so to speak. And we will shortly be doing that. Now, in Buddhist philosophy, psychology, and also really, which is always based on reality, this is very important. Nothing is fixed. None of us are fixed. None of us are the way we are because that's the way we are. Do you know how many of us say, well, that's just the way I am? No. None of us right now are the way we are. We are the way we are solely because of causes and conditions, right? All the variables of our life, the families we were born into, the culture we were born into, all the experiences, the schools we went to, the people we interacted with, you know, those have all molded us. So we sit here today. You know, this is who we are. It's not denying this is who we are and how we're showing up today, but to think that's a fixed, immutable thing, who we are, is totally mistaken. Right. Now, when you understand that, when you understand all the variables, all the causes and conditions that have brought me to this point, and I really, both positively and negatively, and I really see that and understand them, then I can evaluate this past year and go, well, what are those qualities, what are those actions which have really supported me, nurtured me, moved me along my path in a positive way, right? And what are those that haven't, that have gotten in my way, that have sabotaged me, that have kept me stuck in patterns that are old, right? You know, what, you know, why didn't I accomplish my goals? Why aren't I the person I thought I'd be a year ago when I thought of my thing? Well, maybe it's because there were certain other things I could have accessed that I didn't access. Other ways of being, other types of help, other kinds of support. Other kinds of, you know, there may be things I just could have done that would have brought me to where I want to be, you see. But I didn't do them. Why didn't I do them? Did I not do them because I didn't know better? Or that I didn't know about them? Or because there are other things that go on in my life that distract me? And for those of you who come to my regular Dharma talks, you know I focus more and more on this awareness of this culture we live in, which has raised distractibility to a science. Has raised distractibility to a science. And so we may look back and go, well, you know, why didn't I put more energy into this? And well, it may be because I was putting too much energy into things that now when I look back and see what did a year of that kind of activity, where did that get me? Right? So there's a kind of a willingness to step back and really sort of evaluate, you know, what are my priorities in life? What do we, you know, what are my values in life? Where do I really want to travel in this life? What kind of person do I want to be in this life? And if I sit here today saying, well, you know, how come that seems so elusive or far away? Maybe it's because I haven't been giving the energy or the attention it needs, and maybe that's because I've been putting it somewhere else. Now, that kind of insight is good, right? We want to have those kinds of insights today, don't we? So when we move later on in the ceremony to beginning to imagine our coming year, we can put into place those pieces that we forgot to put in place in this past year. Or we can be very clear, what are those things that distracted us, sabotaged us, diverted us? And to be very clear, how I'm going to handle them when they come up this year. Right? And that may include activities, that may include people, that may include all kinds of things. You know, in the second half, I will talk more about the dynamics of change, the dynamics of transformation. Let me say right now, it is not a mystical process. It is not a spiritual process. It has to be grounded in reality. It has to be grounded in psychology. And when one understands the dynamics of change and transformation, you'll be amazed how easy it is. But there are the qualities that are needed to support that, and which we will talk about. So, beginning anew, understanding that even though we feel that we are a fixed, solid me, and everybody has a name for themselves, a name, by the way, that you didn't name yourself, your parents named you, so we didn't even go by our own name, really. So not being a fixed, solid thing, not being a fixed, solid me, but really being a process of endless variables and our mind being made up of endless thoughts, endless feelings, constantly coming and going, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about. So in this process, so spiritual transformation is about in this process, how do I learn to intelligently, wisely manage that process? So all the parts of me, all the activities of my mind, all the activities of my speech, all the activities of my body are moving my life in the direction I want. Okay? I mean, is that clear? So what I'd like to begin this first section is this reflection section, okay? So let us, what we'll be doing, we'll take in a few moments to reflect on our past year, right? And as you reflect in your past year, successes, failures, good things, bad things, things accomplished, things not accomplished, all the good things, all the positive things you learned, et cetera, you want to what? Take forward and even intensify. But there may be things that you want to leave behind. Right? They may be traits, they may be characteristics, or there may be things, and let me spend a moment talking about that, that weigh on you. We may look back on the year and we may think of some things that happened that we did or things that we didn't do that may weigh on us, right? We don't feel good about. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now, see, Buddhism is also very interesting. There's no word for guilt in Buddhism. People might find that quite amazing. In Buddhism, since everything's in process, it is simply acknowledging that there are skillful and unskillful actions of body, speech, and mind. Those that support goodness and wholesomeness, and those that don't and support the opposite of goodness or unwholesomeness. Okay? Those that create happiness and those that create suffering. Now, all of us, to one degree or another, may look back on this year and see that there are things that we did that were not very skillful, that caused suffering to ourselves and others that we regret. Regret, or having a little tinge of remorse, is healthy. I mean, if we didn't know the difference, we would be sociopaths. So a little tinge is good, but there's no reason to beat us up. There's no reason to hold on to it. Right? Because what we want to bring to those things is understanding. Yeah. I didn't know better. See, we always say, well, I should have known better, or he should have known better, or she should have known better. But the truth is, if I knew better, or he or she knew better, they wouldn't have done it. So the truth is, we have to admit to ourselves that we don't know better. Which for many of us is a little humbling, because we think we do know better, but we don't know better. And so as we look at this past year, at our actions of body, speech, and mind, there may be those that we want to put to rest, right? That we don't want to carry with us into the new year, right? We understand they happened. We understand the causes and conditions that led them to happen. I don't want to do it again. Okay? So those are the specific kinds of incidents that weigh on you, behaviors of body, speech, and mind that you found were unskillful or self-sabotaging. You write those down. Everybody have a piece of paper and a pen. That's what those are for. Okay? This is private. They're not going to be collected. All right, or you don't have to stand up and make a public confession. Okay, that's a different tradition. Okay, so this is an introspective, contemplative. We are reflecting on our past year, and in this part, we are reflecting on the things that we have done or not done that have created unwholesomeness or suffering for ourselves and others that at this moment we regret. Is that clear? And they can be big things or they can be little things. It really matters what matters to you, okay? Don't think it's really what weighs on you. And you just write them down, okay? And then when sort of everybody's done, we will begin to get up and there'll be people to guide us. There is a fire pit at our Lambright house next door, and you will go over there very mindfully. And when you get to that, you will put that piece of paper in the fire. And it is important that you understand it is symbolic that you are letting go, right? We can regret the things we've done in the past. We can be ashamed of some of the things we've done in the past. But the bottom line is they've all happened in the past. All we need to do is learn from them and move on. Okay, so the reason we are doing this reflection is not to kind of, you know, for those who think it's all, you know, beating myself up or, no, it's none of that. It's just acknowledging our humanness, that we are less than perfect, that even though we aspire, we often fall short for all kinds of reasons. Is that clear? So just kind of, you know, and if you, for those of you who have a lot to say, just ask for more paper. You know, there's no limit. If you run out of ink, you can ask for another pen. And then in a few minutes, it'll be announced. People can begin to get up and go out the back, and you'll be shown how to get to the fire pit. And then we will come back in afterwards. So are there any questions about this part of the ceremony? Please don't leave. This is only the beginning. But this is where we have to, you know, we have to move forward into the future, not being ashamed or in denial about our past. We have to acknowledge our past, but understand why these things unfolded. When we understand the why and the wherefore of why things unfolded that way, then we understand how not to do it again, which is really the emphasis here. Are there any questions? So please take a moment and just reflect. And please, nobody looking on your neighbor's card, please. And I think we all have enough just to observe ourselves. So these lines that we just recited, all wrongdoing arises from the mind. When the mind is purified, what trace of wrong is left? Again, very powerful to those of us who think we have to hold on to our wrongdoing. Many of us hold on to our wrongdoing for decades, and all it does is weigh us down. We want to purify our minds of all the activities, the wrong thinking, the misperceptions. And when we purify our mind of all things, in Buddhism, our mind naturally is pure, like water, right? Water is by nature pure, but contaminants can be added to water, right? And then the water becomes contaminated. But if you put contaminated water through a purification process, you will see that the natural water is still there, right? So in the same way, our mind, our natural mind, is the basis of all goodness. And even though we might have contaminated our mind with wrong thinking and wrong acting and afflictive emotions, it has in no way affected the basic nature of our pure mind. This is fundamental to Buddhist psychology. So it's very positive. It says it's if we all we need to do is remove the contaminants, and our natural mind, with all its goodness, with all its openness, with all its compassion and love, will naturally come forward. So please remember that. And if you, going forward, whatever your aspiration will be, if you find that you do contaminate your mind because of wrong thinking, wrong acting, because of your current causes and conditions, just immediately acknowledge, express remorse, and then always focus on doing the opposite, right? We don't want to be cultivating negativity forever. Even working through it only keeps us in it. Our prime focus has to be on cultivating wholesomeness, on purifying this mind with goodness. So please remember that. But for the coming year, don't get caught up in negativity. And having said that, we are now moving into really the second and really most important part of this New Year's, this beginning anew, which is looking forward. Now, again, we have to understand we have some challenges here, don't we? Right? Again, for those of us who are full of good intentions, for those of us who are full of pure aspirations, for those of us who've been at this stuff for years or decades, we know it's so much easier to make them than actually to live them. I mean, has anybody beside myself noticed that it is a challenge? Right. So this is why we have to understand that to really not just like slightly incrementally change, but to really transform. I mean, right? You know, transformation is more than incremental change, right? Incremental change is you're basically the same thing. You just kind of get a little bit whatever, you see. Transformation is you become something else, right? And there's always the example of the, you know, the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly, right? That's transformation. And in a certain sense, many of us are, are that worm, that caterpillar, and we're in our own cocoon, aren't we? And many of us kind of feel that way. We feel like we're in a cocoon of our own conditioning, right? And it's we sort of think that that is, you know, again, that's what we're stuck with, and all we can do is kind of make it a little better. But transformation is really something much more dramatic. But it can't occur unless there's a real kind of what we sort of began this afternoon with. We have to understand that, you know, in Buddhism it's called karma. Each of us have these causes and conditions of our life or lives, whichever way you look at it, that really is conditioned our mind, our emotions, our way of thinking, our way of reacting, our way of responding, a way of kind of doing life, doing relationships, right? I mean, we are not free agents, are we? We are in our own cocoon of our own conditioning. But the interesting thing, and this is the freedom, the interesting thing about our conditioning, it also is not a thing, right? Like people will say to me, well, you know, I got really heavy conditioning. And my response, can you please show it to me right now? I mean, I'd love to see something as heavy duty as that. Well, we can talk this way, but if you look into your mind for that which is called heavy conditioning, you won't see anything, will you? Is there anybody here who can look in their mind and see their heavy conditioning right now? See, there's no such thing as heavy conditioning at all. So we have to be very careful the language we use, because when we talk about heavy conditioning or heavy karma, it already we are giving ourselves an out, so to speak, or making it to be an impossible task. But our heavy conditioning, our heavy karma, or light conditioning, light karma, the interesting thing about it, it only shows up in one sphere, in the present. And how does it show up? As a thought? As an emotion? As a action of our speech and body? That's where it shows up. It doesn't show up anywhere else. Is that clear? I mean, this is very important. Our heavy conditioning does not show up in the past. The past is gone. Our heavy conditioning does not show up in the future. The future hasn't come. Is that true? Yeah, we all know that. So our heavy-duty karma, all our conditioning, all the variables that have created us, are all going to show up in the present moment as a thought, as a feeling, as an emotion, as a tendency, as a need, as a desire, whatever it is, okay? So, our challenge is, am I aware, am I mindful in the present moment that I am aware what is arising within my mind, within my impulse to speak, or you know what I'm saying? That's all we need to be doing. So that awareness is key to our transformation, right? So without that, we are really lost. So that is why in our community, we call ourselves the Florida Community of Mindfulness, because we understand without presence, without mindfulness, without self-awareness, change is incredibly difficult. But with mindfulness, with self-awareness, change is not that difficult because one sees what's happening. One feels what's happening. Now, this is the key piece, right? So there is mindfulness and presence, right? Now, what is then needed at that moment is intention, aspiration, right? So, or we might, another way to say it is criteria, okay? Which is, okay, this is what it's arising in my mind right now. Now, I am aware that that's what's happening. Okay. What do I do now? Do I just let myself be swept away by my conditioning? Right? Do I just go with that train of thought, bump and let it be? Do I just say what it's telling me to say? Do I just act what it's telling me to act? Or do I, am I aware of that, and do I have criteria? Criteria of what? Of how I want to be. How I want to act, how I want to think, how I want to feel. What kind of emotions do I want to cultivate? See, without that, we can be mindful, you know, but I often say to people, yeah, I mean, you can be a mindful jerk. You know, I mean, you know, you can be aware, yeah, I'm really acting like a jerk. Isn't that mindfulness? Well, you know, you get a few points for being mindful, but the mindfulness has to occur within the context of transformation. Right? There has to be a purpose to being mindful. Right? I mean, or else, you know, we could, you know, bank robbers could be flocking here. Right? I mean, you know, because, you know, a lot of bank robbers screw it up because they're not very mindful. Right? They leave traces. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so we have to be very careful that mindfulness by itself without criteria, without values, is can actually be less than helpful, can even be harmful. Right? So we need criteria of who we want to be, how we want to show up, what are our values? So when we become more self-aware, we can then infuse this present moment with a different set of values and criteria, intentions, aspiration, that allow us to, in that moment, do something different. Right? So if we're just aware, but we don't do anything different, our causes and conditions will continue to unfold the way they always have. Right? And in light, you know, a Buddha, a Bodhisattva, a great being, is not simply known by the absence of afflictive emotions. He or she are known by the presence of wholesome emotions, love, a loving heart, a compassionate heart, an understanding heart, a patient heart, a generous heart, right? Mine, right? You know, we just don't want the absence of the negative, you know, because that may decrease our suffering or our unhappiness, but it doesn't really create a sense of well-being and ease and wholesomeness in our heart-mind, does it? So the transformation occurs through this capacity to be self-aware and to do something different, even if you don't want to. And everybody here knows what I'm talking about. Because you get to that place, and there's a part of you that doesn't want to, right? Doesn't want to let go of that historical way of responding to things. And that can show up for each of us in a million different ways. but we hang on to our afflictive mind states, to our fears, to our anxieties, to our conditioning, to our hurts, to our resentments, to our sadnesses, to our losses, to our, you know, we just cultivate our historical negativity. Is that clear? And that will only produce the same result. It cannot. As it is said in Buddhism, you know, an apple seed only produces apples. An apple seed will not produce an orange. Mulling over afflictive mind states will not produce wholesome mind states. Only the cultivation of wholesome mind states will produce wholesomeness. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with what we're doing here right now? Well, this is that second piece of paper or second card you have. This you're not going to put in the fire. This you're going to take home with you. Again, it's for you. I mean, if you want to share it with people, that's really up to you. If anybody needs any more cards or pens, please raise your hands. So this really is the most important part, where we're really going to write down, you know, our intentions, our aspirations for the coming year. Now, please do not be grandiose. Many of us suffer from grandiosity, right? Remember, we begin, that's why we spent the first part of the ceremony reflecting on where we've been, okay? Is that clear? We can't put that aside, unfortunately. It'd be nice if we could. So it is in this cocoon of transformation that we acknowledge the past. We know where we are right now, but we set an aspiration, an intention, and make a commitment to how I want to be. And it's got to be somewhat concrete and real. Okay? So you may want to say, I want to be more, just making this up, I want to be more patient, okay, in the coming year. You may know you're an impatient person. Okay, then list all the people you want to learn to be patient with, or all the situations. Is that clear? So then it becomes real for you. It's because without that connection to reality, they just become fluff, you see. Right? I want to be a more loving person this year. Okay, who do you want to be more loving with? Right? Who do I want to be more compassionate with? So again, this is personal. I mean, this is, again, we've taken sort of an inventory. You've kind of looked at your past. You kind of see where you've fallen down, where you haven't followed through. Now we're beginning anew. But it's important that we only develop these wholesome qualities in reality with people and situations, including ourselves. There's not an alternative spiritual universe where we develop wholesome qualities. Many of us think that's how it works. It doesn't work that way. We only develop these qualities in reality. Any skill that we want to develop, we only develop it when we practice that skill in reality. So please, in other words, think big. You know, what is my aspiration? Where do I want to take my life? What do I want to develop within myself? You see? But then concretize it. Real situations, real people. So you can check yourself in the coming year. Somebody might say, well, I want to be more kind and supportive to myself. Okay, that's good. Exactly in what? You see? Exactly in what? I want to be supportive of these other people in my life. Okay, how are you going to do that, and what are you going to support? So again, you can think big. Your aspiration can be grandiose, like big.
Right.
But the actualization only occurs in reality. So you can have a big aspiration, but then you want to put very specific kind of intentions under it. So again, don't, this is just between you and you. So don't be afraid to go out of your box. To realize you might have more capacity for doing things in a bigger way than you think at this moment. But you need to see the steps that'll bring you there. Many people suffer in this life because they don't have clarity about who they are and how they want to show up in life. And aspiration and commitment are going forward. It's not who you've been, it's who you want to be. And in truth, you can be, you know, you can be anything in terms of your being. And when you feel like you sort of you've come to the end of your aspirations, commitments, intentions, then I invite you just to spend a little time thinking about technical support. What kind of support do you need to actualize this? I mean, for example, I mean, here we are, you know, do you need daily meditative practice? Do you need more mindfulness in your daily life? Do you need more emotional self-awareness? Do you need spiritual friends? Do you need sangha? You know, what kind of support do you need that you can really carry this through? Do you need to go over this list every morning to remind yourself and reflect on it every evening, just, you know, for a few moments, just to keep you on track? Now, what, think about, again, why we have not followed through in the past, okay? So, you know, think about what do you need? What kind of support do you need from within yourself, your life, your lifestyle, as well from others? If you really are, you know, if you really want to kind of hothouse, so to speak, your transformation. You need to be journaling about this every day, journaling about your work on this. now, this may be seem to be a priority for our life, but, you know, a month from now, it may not be because of many things. How do I keep it alive? Don't forget. And again, you know, this is a process. We're just spending a few moments today. You know, take it home with you. You may want to reflect more. You may want to build into your life periodic times of retreat where you step back and check in. You can sort of make this a living document rather than a once a year. Transformation, change, awakening, these things all have. Then we talk about things like enthusiasm, diligence, effort. You know, there are all these qualities that we know that anything that we want to do to change, to learn something new. This is not a mystical process. Is anything we've successfully changed or transformed in our life, we know those qualities that are needed. Concentration, prioritization, you know, all these kinds of things. Many of us know how to do that with more kind of worldly goals and objectives, but we don't use the same intelligence when it comes to our own personal freedom.